turning your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, we're going to go there. In 2019, Khloe Kardashian's clothing company, Good American, caught some flack on Instagram after some of their followers caught them and accused them of photoshopping an image of the reality star. And the snapshot in question showed Khloe Kardashian, she's lying on a mirrored floor and gazing at the camera as she's modeling this pair of shape-enhancing skinny jeans. The reason people noticed that her figure had been photoshopped was that the reflection in the floor that she was laying on did not match the real model. And there were people on their Instagram account, they began freaking out, pointing out the mistake, and pointing out that the editing team, while they had photoshopped the model, Khloe, they had forgotten to photoshop the reflection in the floor, and so it gave it away, and that showed that that was not her real figure in the picture. So the lesson of that story is the reflection does not lie. And in the scripture that we're going to read this morning, the Apostle James, he's writing about another accurate reflection, and that is the reflection that we see in the Word of God. And he says the Word of God is like a mirror, and we are confronted with the Word. When we're confronted with the mirror of the Word of God, it shows us what we really look like. And if we'll allow it to, it can show us the things that we need to change. And of course, the goal of that change is not simply change for change's sake. It's not simply because, to keep things different and fresh. But the goal is that God's objective is to save you and to bless your life. So let's read James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 21. The Bible says, "Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Let's talk about the mirror. Let's think first of all about the challenge. So our text begins with a challenge, and that is the challenge of sanctification. And sanctification is a Bible word that simply means to make pure or to make free from sin or to separate from sin. And so sanctification has a couple of issue aspects to it. Number one, there is an immediate separation from sin at salvation, that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and repent from our sins, that God separates us from that sin, and there's an immediate sanctification. But then as we live for God over a period of time until eternity and we make it to heaven, there is the process of sanctification whereby God begins to work and go to work in our hearts and lives to begin to pull out the other things, the issues of our lives that are not like Jesus. And he begins to shape and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ until we get to heaven, and that process is complete. And so in our text, James is writing to believers. These people are already saved. He's writing to the church, and he's encouraging them in the second part of that process of sanctification. Verse 1, he says, lay aside all filthiness, right? He's writing this to believers, but that's the reality, is that there are things that we need to lay aside as believers. There are still things, issues of sin, issues of ungodliness or uncleanness that are deep inside of our hearts that God wants us to lay aside. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he addresses some of these. He says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Peter says, listen, I know you're saved, but listen, there are still some things inside of our hearts that we need to make a decision. I'm not going to allow this to remain. I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to work inside of me. I'm going to choose to set aside malice. I'm not going to hate people. I'm not going to be angry at people. I'm going to choose to lay aside deceit. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to make sure that I'm speaking truth. He talks about hypocrisy and envy, evil speaking and gossip, right? Slandering other people, speaking evil with our words. Peter says there's still some things in us as believers that can come out, but that we need to lay aside. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4:31, he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And so this is what verse 21 is talking about. Lay aside all filthiness, those things that are unclean, that we can still be subject to as Christians. We need to choose to lay aside. Then verse 21, secondly, he mentions the overflow of wickedness. Then he's speaking there of the residue of pre-salvation issues that, like the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews 12:1, he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." There are weights that we still carry sometimes as Christians, issues from the past. We're saved. We're living for God. We're trying to do right and make right decisions, but we are not perfect. There are still things in our lives that have overflown from our past and that God says we need to lay those aside. Philippians 3, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes again, he says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on." Right? So this involves the laying aside of old mindsets, the way that I used to think as an unsaved person, that mindset that's not going to work if I'm going to be successful in living for God. The way that I used to view the world, the way that I used to view other people, I need to lay that aside. There are unhealthy mindsets and ways of thinking that are a result of the way I used to approach life, and those have overflown in my life, but I need to make a decision to be sanctified and set those aside. This could be old relationships that as we're saved, sometimes we can still have old unsaved friends or maybe relatives that hang around. And while we can't always cut off all of those, we can begin to make sure that those relationships and the influence of those relationships are minimized and mitigated in our lives, that we need to lay aside maybe some friendships that influenced us in wrong ways of thinking, wrong ways of making decisions, and old worldly habits and mindsets. This could be old media, old entertainment, things that we used to give our eyes and our ears to that we need to lay aside. It could be old hobbies, could be old hangouts, old places that we used to go that are unrighteous and are not healthy for a Christian. In our text, James says, lay aside the filthiness and then lay aside the overflow of wickedness. Put aside those things of the past. And that is sanctification. That is the challenge that he opens up our text with. So, of course, if you are a healthy Christian, you realize I need that, right? There's not a healthy Christian out there that wouldn't say, yes, there are things in my life that should not be. There are things in my heart, in my character, in my nature that I know are unchristlike. They are not pleasing to God. And the question then becomes, how? How do I get past that mindset? How do I get past that way of thinking? How can I overcome this habit, this mentality? How can I get that desire weakened and eliminated from my life? And the answer is sanctification. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prays for his disciples and he says, "Sanctify them by your truth." So this ties with our text. Verse 21 makes it clear, receiving the word of God is how sanctification is accomplished. It says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word." So it gives us the idea that the word of God planted or deposited inside of our hearts is one of the ways that God accomplishes sanctification. So let's think about how this happens. the Word of God being implanted or deposited inside of our hearts. Number one, this happens by the preaching of the Word of God. Right? This is why it's so important to be planted in a church under the ministry of a pastor. And that is the primary reason for the church. That is the primary reason for the gathering. Fellowship as a group of believers is important, but that's not the primary reason we come together. Right? Singing songs of praise, worshiping God in the song service, that is important and that is good, but that is not the primary reason we come together. Prayer. Corporately together in our prayer meetings before service and during our service, lifting up needs and praying for one another together. That is important. That is vital, but that is not the primary reason that we come together as a church. The church is the Greek word ekklesia. That is the called out ones. It's the picture of a town of people being called together to the square to hear a message from the king that the herald would declare. And that is the reason that we come and gather. We join together as a church. That is the primary focus is because we're coming to hear a message from the king that is declared. It is all about the preaching of the word of God and that word being implanted in our lives. And that is the focus. Nehemiah 8 verses 1 and 3 says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." This is the picture that we're talking about, is the Ezra the scribe. They gathered the people of God together in the square by the gate. And the purpose was, we're going to join together as a congregation so that we can hear the word of God. That word of God implanted in our hearts, implanted in our lives, is critical for our sanctification. Then the second way that this happens, preaching is the first. The second way that this happens is by our own reading. This is why it is critical to maintain a personal discipline of Bible reading in the Word of God, right? We, Pastor ministered on reading the Word of God a couple of weeks ago and gave us an outline for the year that you can read through the Bible. And that is vitally important for every person here, every person watching online, every believer in Jesus Christ. You must have a personal commitment and devotion to the Word of God, to every day set aside time and read this book, get it implanted inside of you. That is where it goes to work. When we begin to read, when we begin to seek out God's truth and allow God to speak into our lives through this book, that it goes to work sanctifying, cleansing our hearts, removing the uncleanness, and God begins to change us on the inside. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That this book is living and powerful. It's more than words on paper. It is more than just facts of history or prophecies, predictions about the future. It's more than just a documented record of what happened to certain people. It is the self-revelation of God Almighty. And I want to encourage you, there are some maybe new converts listening, watching here, that you read the Bible sometimes and it seems confusing. It maybe seems like I don't understand this. I don't comprehend it. I'm not getting out of it. I want to tell you that is a lie from hell. This book, when you read this book, when you implant this word inside of you, it goes to work. It is supernatural. It does an incredible work, even when you may not feel like it. I want to encourage you that the Word of God, read on a regular basis, taken into your spirit, it does miracles on the inside. Psalms 119, verse 9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word." That the psalmist writes, and he says, listen, the way that I get sanctified, the way that I get the things inside of me that shouldn't be there, the way that they are cleansed, the way that they're removed, the way that God works on me and makes me more like him is when I get into his word. It's by his book, it's by his truth that I can cleanse my ways. So this scripture shows us in our text, God's word, it's like a mirror. It shows us our true selves so that when we can see what we need to change, we can see what we need to remove, what we need to cleanse, it shows us the things in our lives that are not Christ-like and they need to be fixed. So let's look secondly at missing the point. In our fellowship, and many of you are aware, we have done teen boot camps for a number of years. And these are very good. They're like a summer camp for teens, and they are modeled after a military boot camp. And so teens are brought there for a whole week, and they go and they are subjected to child abuse. No, they're subjected to rigorous drilling and exercise, drill instructors getting in their faces, spitting on them, yelling at them, breaking down their pride, their facades, breaking down the fronts. And there's ministry throughout the week that then puts back into them the things of God that helps them. And those have been a great blessing. I've been to a couple. And so one of the years that I went, we had gone through a whole morning of just being thrashed. We were doing calisthenics, running up and down, going through a mud-filled obstacle course. We were crawling through this thing on our bellies and getting our faces in the mud. And so it came around time for lunch. We go into the cafeteria, and the head drill instructor there said, "You guys are a mess. You need to go get your act together." And so he sent us all back to our barracks to wash up and then come back for lunch after we were all clean. He said, "I want you washed up. I want all the mud off your faces, everything." And so we go back and we wash up, and he gave us, you know, a luxurious amount of time. I think it was like 2 minutes to run there, clean up, and then run back. And so we go there, and I washed up, ran back. And as soon as I came back into the cafeteria, I got chewed out like never before. And I ended up having to do all kinds of push-ups and sit-ups for I forget how long. I ended up having to pick trash out of a dumpster by hand and put it in another dumpster. Never got around to lunch. And the reason was because I came back with mud all over around my face. Think about this. I went back to my barracks. I went to the bathroom. I stood in front of the mirror. There was a mirror there. I washed, I thought, with water. But because I failed to look in the mirror, I didn't realize that I had missed an entire ring of mud all around my face, and it cost me dearly that afternoon. So the lesson there, I had a mirror. It was available to me. It worked. It would have shown me that there was a problem that was going to cause me issues in a few minutes, but I simply failed to use the mirror. And that illustrates an unfortunate reality that the Bible tells us, right in our scripture, it says the word of God, it is like a mirror. It shows us where there's problems. Sometimes it shows us there are things that we need to change. It shows us there's things that we need to do in order to have the blessing of God. But many Christians, they miss the point of this book. They don't get any benefit from the mirror. They have one, right? It's here. It sits maybe on the coffee table. It looks nice. It's there. It works. There's black and white on the pages. It's there, but they miss the point of it. They get no benefit from it. And why? There may be a number of reasons, right? There's some people, they simply, number one, there's people they neglect to look in the mirror. A 2019 study of Americans who attended Protestant Christian churches found that only about a third of those Christians read their Bible every day. Right? That's a problem. There are some people, they simply do not open the Word of God and look in the mirror. Right? If the only time that you open your Bible is when pastor says, "Turn in your Bibles with me," right? If that's the only time, that is, you are missing out. You're missing the point. But there's some, they simply neglect it. Secondly, there are some that they may read the Word of God. They may look inside God's Word. They may look in the mirror, but they don't put any weight on what they read. Our text says in verse 24, this man immediately forgets. He looks in the mirror, But then he goes away and immediately forgets what the mirror showed him because he simply doesn't put much weight on it. There are people, that is how they approach the Word of God, whether they're reading or whether they are sitting under preaching and hearing the Word of God declared, that is the issue, that they do not get any benefit from the Word of God. They don't get any benefit from the mirror because they simply don't put much weight on it. Yeah, that's just the pastor's interpretation. That's one way to read it. Well, you know, that Word of God, it hasn't been updated, right? It was written thousands of years ago, and you know, that applied to people back then, but things are different now. There's no, you know, cultural adjustment. There's been no update. That's one way to look at it, but you know, I don't know if that applies to my life. There's people, they simply do not put much importance on what they see in the mirror. Some, they just don't expect it. There are people, they come to church and they may come for the fellowship, or they may come for, the friendships or other things, other reasons. People come to church for all kinds of reasons. But there are some, they do not come expecting that this Word of God is going to be imparted, be implanted into them, and that it's going to show them things, and that it's going to make a difference in their lives. They simply do not have an expectancy or put much weight on the Word of God. And the third reason that people do not get any benefit from the mirror of Scripture is that they fail to act on what they see. In our text, verse 24, it says, this man, he observes himself and he goes away. So he observes himself in the mirror. There are people, they look in the mirror. They see what is in the mirror. They see what's in the Word of God. The Word of God maybe confronts them with things that need to change or things they need to do or stop doing. And that is God in His love and mercy showing us things that are going to be harmful or dangerous to our lives. And yet we often walk away forgetting what was said, forgetting what we read, forgetting what God dealt with us, or we do nothing about it. And there are a number of reasons why we fail to act sometimes on the Word of God. Verse 22 says, deceiving yourselves. There are people that the reason they fail to act on what God's Word shows them is they simply deceive themselves, right? There are people, they look in the mirror, right? You've seen these people in public, right? You see people in public and you go, my gosh, friends don't let friends go in public like that. Well, the problem is they looked in the mirror this morning. If they looked in the mirror, they looked in the mirror and they said, that looks great, right? They thought that was fine. That is deceiving ourselves. And there's problems, right? We can look in the Word of God. We can hear the Word of God preached, and we can deceive ourselves into thinking, no, that's really not my problem. That's for brother so-and-so and sister what's her face over there. That's their issue. That's not my problem, right? We can deceive ourselves into thinking that what the Word of God says doesn't apply to us, and we can dismiss it. The second reason that people would fail to act on the Word of God is laziness, right? How many know that there are things in God's Word, God deals with us with things, and we know that if I'm going to change, if I'm going to fix what God wants me to fix, it is going to take stinking hard work, right? God's Word commands me to love my enemies and pray for them. People that spitefully use me, people that speak evil of me, God's Word tells, listen, that is hard work. That's not easy. I know I look great, you know, and I know you think I may be super spiritual, but that, I got to tell you, there are most days when that is not in here, to love my enemies, pray for people that oppose and speak evil. But that's what God's Word shows me I need to change. That's hard work, and there are people, they're not going to put in that work. It's hard work, right, guys? The God's Word says we need to love our wives and be understanding and be considerate and love them as Christ loved the church and sacrifice, be self-sacrificing for them. And I'm going to be honest, as amazing as my wife is, sometimes that is very hard work. because that's not naturally in the inside. Ladies, it is hard work, as the Bible says. Ladies, you're to be of a meek, a gentle, and a quiet spirit. And that can be work. And there are some like, no, I'm not putting in that work. There are some that get no benefit from the mirror because the mirror shows us we need to do some work and we're not willing to do it. You know, there are days when I look in the mirror and the mirror tells me that I should shave because I look homeless or that I need a haircut, right? The mirror tells us things sometimes that's like, eh, that is going to take work. I don't feel like doing that. And so because of our laziness, sometimes we can get no benefit from the mirror. And the third reason that people fail to act on what the Word of God shows them is simply hopelessness. There are people that you read the Word of God and the Word of God shows you this is what your life should be. This is what God wants you to do. This is what God's called you to. This is what God wants you to stop doing. And there are people, you read that or you hear that preached and you feel hopeless because how can I do that? There's no hope for me. I know the Word of God says that. I know God is speaking to me through the preaching, but there's no hope for me to do that. And that is a struggle for many people that as we live with things in our lives that we've struggled with and done for years, that we can come to a wrong conclusion that it's hopeless and that we can never change that area of our life. But that is incorrect. God's word always gives us the hope that there's power available for us in that. So we have to understand we cannot ignore what the mirror shows us without consequences, right? Christians who hear the word of God preached, read the word of God, and do nothing with it, they remain unsanctified. They remain carnal. They remain living with things in their lives that will eventually destroy them. And the Bible brings out this truth that the difference between salvation and destruction is our reaction, what we do with the Word of God. Jesus brings this out in Luke 6, verse 46. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep foundation, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin or the destruction of that house was great." So here's these two men that Jesus juxtaposes in this scripture. And he says these two men, they had the same information. They had the same materials. They had the same intelligence. They could understand. They were given the same things. But one acted on what he was given and the other did not. And the difference was the one who acted on it, the one who obeyed the word of God, his house, what he built, his life, it was solid. It was standing against the storms. And the other one, his was immediately destroyed. Right? So this is the issue here, that there are things in our lives that are brought to our attention by the word of God. These could be issues of outright sin. These could be issues of carnality, that there are appetites and hobbies and things that we give ourselves to, worldly thinking, worldly desires. Maybe they're not outright gross, wicked sin as we would consider it, but simply issues of the world pulling on our heartstrings, issues of appetites being cultivated in our lives. And it will show us, the Word of God will show us, where we've been developing these appetites. It'll show us where there are cracks in our armor spiritually. It'll show us where our priorities are not in line with God's will. It'll show us where the things that we are speaking are unpleasing to God. It'll deal with issues of character, whether that is honesty, whether that's the integrity of our lives, whether we are undisciplined. It'll deal with us with areas where we are lazy. It'll deal with us in areas where we are not loving, where we are not acting out the nature and the character of God in our lives. And this is all given to us because God wants us to be able to build a life that is going to last over the long term. And the point of all this, the point of following Jesus, right? The point of being a Christian in the first place is that we become more like him, right? That is the goal. And that's going to require change. It means that I cannot stay the same. So in order to change, we must be aware of what we are. We must be aware of what we should be or could be. And then we must be willing to do what is necessary to bridge the gap between those two. James 1 in our text, verse 23 and 24 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That word forgets that is used there, it means to neglect, to lose out of mind, to no longer care. In other words, James describes this person who does not care enough to do anything about his current state. It's not important to him. Yeah, I know what God wants me to be, and I know what I am right now, and I know that those two, one of these is not like the other, but this man, he says, doesn't care enough. It's not important enough to him to do something about what he hears, to do something about what the Word of God shows him in order to get from point A to point B. And this isn't very important to God, though. This is very important to God. God puts us in his Word because God cares very much that we do his will and that we be blessed and that we are successful living for God as Christians. So let's look thirdly and finally at the life-saving mirror. So our scripture shows us that what is the goal of all this? Why does God want us to hear and do his word? Not just change for change's sake, not simply because God doesn't like the way we are, but the point is the salvation of our souls. Verse 21 in our text says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That the purpose of reading the word of God and hearing it preached is not just to collect information and fill notebooks with sermon notes. It's not just to kill time reading. It's not just to accumulate knowledge or fill your head with understanding, but it is meant to be a supernatural miracle working force that is capable of saving your very soul. Let me ask you a question. How many here? How many watching online? How many of you plan on backsliding in 3 years? I'm going to live for God for a little while, and then, you know, a few years from now, you know, I'll be over it. Get that out of my system. It's a fad. It's a phase I'm going to go through, and then I'm going to move on to some other things, right? Nobody's planning on that. I'm glad. Very encouraged. Nobody's planning on backsliding, but that's true of any healthy Christian, right? Nobody plans on going back into sin, but here's a little secret for you. The problem with us is that there are things in my heart and in yours, and there are things in our lives that are dangerous, that are unhealthy, right? That's part of our fallen nature. That's why we need sanctification. There are things in our lives that if we do not deal with, over time, they will grow and lead us back into sin, right? For some, maybe that wouldn't be backsliding, but maybe that would simply be missing what God has for you, falling short of what God has destined you for. And this is the awesome faithfulness of God, is that he loves us so much, he shows us in his mirror, he shows us those things. He says, listen, there are things in your heart that you need to deal with right now, because a year from now it's going to cause you great problems. 2 years from now, it's going to lead you to miss the will of God. 3 years from now, it's going to cause you to backslide. God is faithful to show us these because he knows what they lead to. Psalms 119, verse 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. The psalmist has this understanding that the word of God isn't just a book, but by the word of God, God shows us how we can have life, not just initially at salvation, but how we can continue healthy as believers, how we can continue successfully living for God as Christians all the way until we get to heaven. It saves us from destruction. Psalm 119, verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. That word wondrous that the psalmist used there means things that are hidden, things that are great or difficult. And that is a good prayer to pray. I pray that regularly. God, show me. Show me myself in your word. Show me the things that are hidden inside my heart that I'm not aware of. Show me in your word those things that I need to change. Those things are going to be detrimental to myself. Those things that are going to hurt other people down the road. God, you've got to show me those things that I need to stop doing. Those things that I need to begin doing. Those things that I need to change. You need to give me an understanding of those things. And God is faithful to show us those things because he is for us. God is for you. He wants you to make it to heaven. He wants you to be blessed in your life. And that is what our text concludes with. It's a promise, a conditional promise of blessing. A conditional promise of blessing. That simply means God says, I'm going to bless you. I will do this for you if you will do your part. Verse 25 in our text, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So there's obedience attached, or there's blessing attached to our obedience to the word of God. That word blessed simply means happy. You want to be happy? Obey. Do the word of God. And God has promised this all throughout Scripture. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, then it will come to pass, it because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you today blessing and a curse. Blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today. That is God's call all throughout Scripture to his people. Listen, there is blessing that awaits you if you will not only hear my word, hear my law, hear my direction, but if you will act upon what you hear and do my word. Jesus says in John 13, 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And this is found throughout Scripture because part of God's nature is that he is a blesser, that his desire, he wants to bless our lives. He wants us to live lives that he can bless and that he can make happy. I want to close with this story. Everyone probably checks the mirror in the morning before you head out the door, before you go to work or school, whatever it is you're doing. Most of us don't expect that mirror check to save our lives, but it did for Dr. Erin Kubetz. She was a cancer researcher at the University of Miami. She was 6 weeks into her new job, and as she's getting ready for work that morning, she's getting ready to leave, she's looking in the mirror, and she notices something odd about her throat as she's getting ready for work. She said, there's no real way to explain it other than my neck looked funny, Kubetz recalls. Alarmed, she immediately made an appointment with her primary care physician. Her doctor agreed that her neck looked unusual, and so they did a neck ultrasound, and it revealed that her thyroid was cancerous. So her medical team began a treatment protocol. It was swift, it was effective, and it led to her remission and recovery. So think about this. Looking at herself in the mirror saved her life. But it only saved her life because she didn't just say, oh, that's weird, and go about her day. She did something about it. She acted on what she saw. Right? This is true for you and I, that looking in this mirror on a daily basis, as we examine the Word of God, as we read it, as we come to church and hear the Word of God declared, that's more than just a religious exercise or activity. But I declare to you that this book, the Word of God preached into your life, the Word of God read and taken in as a daily diet, it is life-saving, it is life-changing, and it is destiny-establishing. If we will act upon what God shows us, right? This is not about finding things that are wrong with us. This is not about more ways that you stink and you need to change. That is not what this is at all. This is God saying, listen, I want to bless your life. I want you to have everything that I've intended for you. I have a plan and a purpose for you, and I ultimately want you to make it to heaven. And the way that I'm going to make sure that happens is I'm giving you my word. And if you'll examine it, if you'll give yourself to it, if you'll read it, if you'll take it in, if you'll devote yourself to it, God will says, I will go to work inside of you. I'll show you the things that the enemy would use to derail you. I'll show you the things that are hindering blessing. I'll show you the things that are going to keep you from my will. And I'm going to show you the things that would keep you from heaven so that you can change, so that we can go to work on the inside and do sanctification, removing those things that would be endangering us in the future, removing those things that would destroy our ministry or our families or our minds. God has given us this because He is for us. It's about becoming more like Jesus. It's about God being able to bless our lives. It's about us getting life-saving revelation. So the question is, what is God trying to save you from by showing it to you in His Word? What's God showing you in the mirror that needs to change? Secondly, what blessing does God have for you that if you'll do something that He's dealing with you about in His Word, He will give to you? What is He showing you in the mirror of His Word? It's there for our preservation. It's there for our sanctification. It's there for our blessing. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Let's have every eye closed. If you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes as well. Before we do anything else, I want to give an appeal. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and the mirror of the Word of God, what it shows you about your heart and your life is that you are in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that not one of us is righteous. Not one of us can stand before God and say that we are actually a good person. Not one of us has lived up to God's standard of good. And that is the reason that our world is in the mess that it's in. That is the reason that your life maybe is in the mess that it's in. Right? We can talk about addictions, depression. We can talk about broken homes and broken families, relationships destroyed, mental issues, spiritual issues, all because the influence of sin and what it does. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, what sin produces, the consequence of it is destruction. But the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That the answer for your sin and for mine is Jesus Christ. And what He did on the cross, He paid the price for our sin so that we don't have to. So that we can be forgiven of our sin. We can be forgiven for breaking God's law. We can be pardoned. And we don't have to suffer the judgment for our own sin. Jesus paid it all. He lived the life that you should have lived. He died the death that you should have died. He did that so that you could have a relationship with Him, so that you can have a new start. Jesus said you must be born again. It does not matter if you attend church. Doesn't matter if you believe in God. Doesn't matter if you do religious activity or if you're sincere. All of that is irrelevant. What matters is, have you been born again? Have you been converted? Have you had your sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus? That is what matters for eternity. I want to give an opportunity. Anyone here, anyone watching online, you're not saved. You're not right with God. You don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven, but you want that this morning. I wonder if you would just lift up your hand before God. Say, I want that. I want to know what it is to be clean on the inside. I want to know what it is to be free from sin. I want to know what it is to have my sins forgiven and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be my home. And you lift up your hand in the presence of God. I want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you lifted your hand at home. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're unsaved, but you want to get your heart right with God. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning that'll change your life. Say this after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you paid the price for my sin and that you rose again. I'm making a decision this morning to repent, to turn away from my sin, and to live for you from this day on. I'm asking you to forgive me, to come inside of my heart. I surrender my life to you, and I ask you to help me to live for you from this day forward. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." The Bible says if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with a sincere heart, that God has heard your prayer. He's written your name in his book of life, and your home is in heaven. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, we would love to connect with you, to help you out, invite you to connect with us on our website, pottershouseroc.com. You can find a contact form there. Please let us know if you prayed that prayer. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to meet you, and you can do that. I want to just address Christians now. There are some, maybe God has dealt with you this morning, that maybe you have not put the weight that you should on the mirror of his word. Maybe you have not been in the habit of regularly feeding yourself on the word of God, looking in the mirror of the word, letting God speak to you through it. Maybe others, you do read regularly. You're in church hearing the preaching, but maybe you fail to act on what God deals with you about. And Jesus said in Luke 11:28, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And this is our text. It begins with a challenge of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, separating ourselves from the old ways of life, the sin that is deep within us, our hearts. The blessing that God has for us, it shows us how that is done. It's the word of God, that if we'll act on it, the blessing that God has for us, the preservation that is there for our lives. Salvation is the point. God is for us. He wants us to make it to heaven, and he has great things for our lives. And the mirror of his word is how he helps us to see those things, shows us the decisions we need to make, and removes the things that would hinder us from what God has for us. We're going to sing a song this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity. Those of you here, you can come pray at the altar. Those of you at home, I invite you to take some time right now. Seek God, lay hold of him, repent, whatever the case may be. But we're going to take some time to do that as we sing this song, "Who is Like Our God?" Who is like our God?
You are lifted up, lifted up.